Welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajan. Purple Mafia is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back aboard with you once again today. The Minnesota Vikings season has officially ended with 7 wins. Seems like 3 years ago the Vikings got their 7th win. Well, we wind up 7-10 after losing 30-20 to the Detroit Lions, and of course the Vikings missed the postseason. Yep, 7-10 at the end of the season. No playoffs, a season of injury, a season of turnovers, a season of bad decisions, a season of bad play calling, and a defense that kind of, well, wasn't as good as the season progressed. Not sure what to say other than it was just, it was an all-around failure. It was a total system failure at the end of the day. Obviously, injuries are part of it, but the team started 1-4. Let's not forget. Justin Jefferson was healthy during the time the team was 1-4. Kirk Cousins was healthy at the time the team was 1-4. So you cannot tell me that it's only injuries. Obviously, injuries definitely derailed things. The Vikings got hot. Who knows what could have happened? This team could have been 10-7 at the very least. Would have been very much in the hunt at that stage, probably in the playoffs. 11-6, very possible. Even possibly 12-5 is probably about as high as this team could have gone. Yeah, with that 1-4 start, which would have been an epic finish. We might have beaten Detroit for the division title, but we didn't. Odds are we might have lost this game in particular and wound up 11-6 with Detroit winning their division, and we'd try our luck on the road with a wild card. Yeah, how's that? How's that worked for us in the past? I don't know. Not so great. I don't know. What are you going to do, though? Nick Mullins, I thought, played a wonderful game, except pretty much at the very, as the game progressed, with a couple of INTs, but that's just kind of meant to be. Kind of the gambling and such, and we're in a position to gamble at that stage, trailing on the road with the season on the line. Nick Mullins throws for almost 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But again, I thought he played pretty well. I did, despite the 2 interceptions. I thought Nick Mullins played pretty well, but the hand grenade he is. He is a hand grenade and blowing up the place and such, but I don't know. The ball was deflected and intercepted, so it was a combination of things, though at the same time, you're kind of throwing through defenders, so the chances of that ball getting deflected in that situation, pretty high. Playoff picture is not completely set, but of course, we know who's going to be at the top. We have a pretty good idea who's going to be in, but as to who's exactly playing who, it's still kind of all a wait and see. Detroit's win today was pretty costly, though, because what if Laporta is out? His knee was bending the wrong way a bit. It didn't look catastrophic. It didn't look catastrophic, but honestly, did T.J. Hockenson's look as catastrophic as it ended up being, ACL and MCL. So if Sam Laporta, I don't think there's a real good chance he's going to play in the first round if the Detroit, if it's not a super serious injury, because a sprain is a sprain. I don't know. I'm not so sure he'd even be able to play in the first round. So Detroit, I don't know. Maybe. There's a little Nick Mullinsing going on in Detroit right now with some of the decisions with their personnel in a game like this today. Yes, the Vikings were trying to make the playoffs. The Vikings were going to give it everything they had, even though it's like the odds of them doing anything. This is about what the score would have been if this was a playoff game in the first round anyway. We would have probably lost by 10 points or more in a first round game. At least I think so, if the Vikings somehow snuck into the postseason. Justin Jefferson, an amazing day, absolutely amazing, showed some frustration and such as things just simply did not work out as the game progressed. 12 catches, 192 yards. You don't really get much better than that. Jordan Addison could have had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, which would have made it 11 for a pretty fabulous rookie season. 10 receiving touchdowns for Jordan Addison as a rookie. Incredibly impressive, and you can't really take that away from him. I don't think the stats update right away, do they? No. So he's a little over 900 with 10 touchdowns, 900 yards with 10 touchdowns, sorry. He hesitated on what would have been a sure touchdown, which was really disappointing, and kind of, well, what kind of season it's been, to be blunt. At least we know Alexander Mattison is not the main running back. It is Ty Chandler, at least for now, and I think he's a pretty good running back, and he's obviously super young, almost 6 yards a carry, 12 carries, 69 yards, that type of thing. But playing from behind, Detroit ran the ball a bit. They got in twice. The tackling by this Minnesota Vikings defense has been bullcrap. For some reason, I keep getting a Caleb Evans and Cam Bynum mixed up, and how could I do that? Bynum has generally been the better player. Evans, who's had some good moments, couldn't tackle for his life, and he was benched at a point in this game with frustration defensively and all that. Just, you got to be able to tackle, for the love of God, if you're a defensive player, so there's a bit of that. One sack for Danielle Hunter, continuing his Pro Bowl season. As the Vikings had two Pro Bowlers this year, Danielle Hunter and, the long snapper. So at least the long snapper is also a punter, so congratulations to him. Ryan Wright had one of his better games today, 56 yards a punt and an in 20 and no touchback. So, all right, two touchbacks for Jack Fox, but he did have a 61-yard kind of lucky bounce, quite a few lucky bounces on that one. Greg Joseph made both of his kicks. That's good. Nice, strong finish for Greg Joseph. Even Brandon Powell had a 13-yard punt return, which was actually quite impressive. He broke about four tackles on that one. I mean, it was pretty impressive. There's like no room for the guy on those punt returns. It's just, it's different, unfortunately. Punt return touchdowns were a lot of fun to watch back in the day. Oh, that ball should have been intercepted. Washington and the Dallas Cowboys flashing on the screen right now. The second group of games. I'm glad the Vikings season's over, frankly, just because, I don't know, not because I'm a big jerk, but the way the season progressed, it's just kind of like, just put them out of their misery, that type of thing. I'm sure the Washington Redskins, Commanders, are thinking the same right now. I'm never going to get that out of my system, and who knows, maybe they will get the name back. But I don't know, in this cancel culture world, everything gets canceled, so... Oh boy, I'm not hinting at anything, am I? Heck, Purple Mafia has been shadow banned on X for about four years now, and I'm not kidding. Like, when everything completely comes to a screeching halt, you're being shadow banned. There's no doubt. There's no reason for the Purple Mafia X to be getting viewed by like 20 people every week. It's kind of weird. There's no reason. It's like a 15-year-old show or something. So what, circa 2008? It's a 16-year-old show. 15 and a half. That's an old podcast. God, that's an old podcast. yeah, anyhow, where am I going? Oh, God, the tackling on the Amon-Ra St. Brown touchdown. That was embarrassing. Oh, my God. I mean, there was nobody in front of him. There were players in front of him, but it was like no resistance. I compared something like funny with the Wild defenseman who's really bad, John Merrill. You'll hear about it on the Brave the Wild podcast, but John Merrill, like when he was defending against a former Wild player named Nito Niederreiter, who scored two goals against us with the Winnipeg Jets last weekend. Kind of like my mom trying to push a trailer, like pretending to push the trailer, just she would just blow air out of her mouth and pretend like, oh, I'm pushing, but she's not really pushing. And that's kind of what the Vikings defense looked like on the Amon St. Brown touchdown. It was embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Like, I don't know. The Viking defense, definitely not as exciting as it was weeks ago when things were looking so good, keeping the Raiders to a shutout and, beating up on Atlanta pretty good and others. But, I don't know, the Raiders are a mess. Atlanta's a mess. We'll see. Maybe Kirk Cousins will be the quarterback of one of those teams next year. I'm not going to get super hard and heavy into off-season talk yet. It's obviously, there's going to be plenty of time for that. Yes, they record less shows in the offseason, but there's always going to be conversation. Yeah, Sam Howell, the king of interceptions. That's the guy I was getting mixed up when I was talking about Powell. It's Sam Howell who's on the screen there. Oh, he's howling for interceptions, isn't he? I don't know, just like certain other people. Yeah, certain other people that throw lots of interceptions. I don't know. I mean, offseason is obviously going to be an ongoing conversation. Week in, week out, like, what are we going to do next? Salary cap situations and all that. Yep, I mean, guys are, I mean, yeah, is Danielle Hunter going to be back? This and that. So there's obviously that kind of conversation. Ugh, messing all this up. Danielle Hunter, it's, hopefully the Vikings can bring him back, but maybe you don't want to. I mean, maybe you don't. His cap hit right now, $20 million, so we'll see where things go. Harrison Smith, there's a possibility he gets, they restructure again, or that we wave goodbye to him. But, yeah, I mean, Christian Darius all the last few weeks, not good. The blocking today was horrendous. I honestly think that if you could get rid of, if you could get a new center, I'd be happy. Like, he had such a good year last year, did Bradbury. And then you re-sign him, like, okay, we're able to keep him, thank God, because other teams didn't buy into the BS. It's a contract year, basically, for him. So, like, they didn't buy the BS. Like, oh, wow, he's really turned the corner. Sure he has. Garrett Bradbury's really turned the corner. So, I don't know. I think we can do better at the center position. I think Bradbury was lousy most of the season this year. And how many freaking times, like, did the ball not get hiked? It even happened today again, just like earlier in the year with Kirk Cousins when he was healthy. I know the crowd makes a sound, but I don't know. I think we can be better than that. So on and so forth. Lewis Cine, one of the worst draft picks in a while. Talk about reaching. Like, it's a Christian Ponder as a safety, basically, but heck, worse. Ponder at least played a little bit. Oh, I'm all over the place. Sorry. Caleb Evans, lousy as heck the last few weeks. I don't know. You can't count on him so much. Obviously, the Justin Jefferson contract, this has to happen, right? He can't play next year without a contract. That's just a fact. He can't just come in with 1 year left and then risk it. So Justin Jefferson will be signed by the Minnesota Vikings or traded before next season. That's just, like a bunt single type of prediction, if you know what I mean. What's going to happen, Jordan Hicks, blah, blah, blah. So it's going to all be very interesting. Let's get to the 2024, if I can hit this really quick, cap hits. Yeah, Kirk Cousins' cap hit would be 28.5. It's actually not that bad, but it's not that great either, obviously. Brian O'Neill, 23. He was disappointing this year and kind of oft-injured a bit. Justin Jefferson, his cap hit's that high? But I suppose the base salary. Harrison Smith, $19 million. And, you have to pay the Piper and all that. The dead cap, $7 million. You can go from 19 to 7, basically 8. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if there's a restructure again. Daniel Hunter, the hit, and the dead cap are identical. Same with Kirk Cousins of the 28. Harrison Phillips, so the Vikings bring him out. See, now I'm going into off-season talk. Are you surprised? TJ Hawkinson, yeah. Whew, the dead cap's higher, and you're not going to get rid of him. You just signed him, and unfortunately, again, massive injury as well. So that just totally flipping figures. See, here I go going into off-season talk. But, I mean, it's kind of like preliminary stuff at the end of the day. What more to say about this game? Simply the Vikings, the offense was pretty good. The defense wasn't. The offense didn't execute down the stretch at times. Could have been better, that type of thing. Absolutely could have been better. The blocking was flipping horrible today, I thought. I mean, it was awful. It wasn't just four sacks. There were several hurries, deflections and such by the Detroit Lions defensive line and whoever else. Two pass deflections by Cam Sutton. But obviously some of those are cornerbacks knocking the ball away too, though. So what the hell? 8 pass deflections in the game. 6 tackles for loss by Detroit. 4 sacks in the game as well. Number 97, Aiden Hutchinson was absolutely fantastic in the game. There's just no doubt about that. Yeah, Aiden Hutchinson, fantastic in the game and driving us all crazy. Terrible pass blocking. One where it was like there was just nothing. There was just nowhere for Nick Mullins to go. It was like instantaneous, pretty much. Or no, it was the Justin Jefferson play. Excuse me, that was like a sack on Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson got sacked. Justin Jefferson got sacked. That's why they show him as a 12-yard loss in carries. Justin Jefferson got sacked, even though it's technically was considered like he was considered a runner because he wasn't able to throw the ball in time. So that was actually like another sack. You could count that as a fifth one, but it was officially counted as a TFL. For 12 yards on Justin Jefferson. Johnny Munt completely, he was supposed to play as a receiver on that one, and he was a pretty good receiver today. Let's give him credit. On a 3rd and 30, he caught the ball for a 32-yard gain, and the Vikings got the first down. It was like the play of his life. Like, you're never going to see Nick Mullins to Johnny Munt for 32 yards probably ever again. So enjoy that while it's there, I guess. The odds of that happening are so slim. Like, that was literally lightning in a bottle right there. But to the point, back to Justin Jefferson, it was going to be like a reverse kind of play, like end-around type of play. Justin Jefferson was maybe going to go for Johnny Munt or somebody else, who knows. But Munt wasn't even down the field at all, so why would it be him? Jefferson was possibly looking for Addison. Who knows what the play was going to be, because it never even had a chance for a split second, because Johnny Munt, who was trying to be a receiver on the play, needed to make a block, possibly. One guy was wide open, and that guy, was completely unblocked, and that would be Hutch again, and just was extremely frustrating. Aiden Hutchinson, yep, that was the third tackle for loss and probably the biggest. He had five quarterback hits in the game as well. Hutchinson was just devastating as, I don't know, like Darisaw wasn't good. Bradbury was lousy. You could go on all day. Quisenberry's mediocre at best, so on and so forth. I don't know. It was a crappy pass. It was just terrible pass protection. Piss poor pass protection. The three Ps in the game. Four Ps, excuse me, in the game. So outside of that, it was, not a good overall day, generally speaking. But Nick Mullins still able to throw for 400 yards and a couple of TDs in pretty nice fashion. Should have had a third touchdown pass, which would have put him closer to 440 yards approximately. I'm just throwing that out there. And a third touchdown, which again would have also had Addison over 100 yards and two touchdowns in the game. It's a shame. The interceptions were not necessarily a good thing. They really weren't. Obviously, they didn't help at all. Especially that last one was just kind of like, okay, that's great. That's just kind of forcing the play. But again, at the same time, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like you only had 17 and then you said, okay, hit me, I guess. What do you want me to do? And then you get a king. You know, you're playing blackjack. That's pretty much all that was. I mean, whatever. We were kind of at that point. Like 17, odds are, like say like the other guy already had 19 anyway. Let's just, like the other person had 19. So you really don't have a choice. It was kind of like that, kind of. Maybe I'm giving Mullins too much of a benefit of the doubt, but Vikings lost today. It's not because of Nick Mullins. The offensive line let him down big time, I thought. I mean, it was awful. Offensive line was awful today. And the defense wasn't good either. Honestly, I mean, again, tackle. Please tackle. And maybe get a sack or two on Jared Goff, you know, other than the best player on the team this year. Nudge, nudge, spoiler alert for State of the Vikings. Danielle Hunter, getting what was his 16th sack on the season. So, and a easy choice for a Pro Bowler, along with our fantastic long snapper. We have a great history there. Long snappers, it's great. But it's nice. I'm happy he got to go to he's getting to go to the Pro Bowl and everything in Orlando. What the heck? Why not Hawaii? Orlando. Ugh. Come on, Hawaii. Orlando? Ugh. That's like mainland, dang it. It's Florida, but it's the mainland of Florida. What the hell? You guys print money over there in the NFL, so Hawaii. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe the fans complained, I don't know, because it's too expensive to go to Hawaii. It is. I'm sorry, it's completely out of my stratosphere right now. It's in a completely different planet for me. Green Bay, whatever, we'll talk about all that later. Certain teams making the playoffs, certain teams not. Philadelphia's trying to win their division with a win. Dallas Cowboys trying to win their division with a win, this and that. So it's the way it's going. Green Bay's trailing the Bears right now, which is funny. So that would be a funny way for the Bears to kind of stick it to their oldest arch rival. And there you go. Kansas City's stuck in the third seed in the AFC. Who cares? Screw them. I hope they get blown out in the first round. Seriously, please do. God, I hate that team. Ugh. I think I've made my feelings known about them. 49ers trying to get only the 13th win, which is funny. They should have won like 15 this year. Seriously. They should have won 15 games this year, but they had couple gaffes during the course of the season, like losing streaks. It was kind of weird. Very strange. Yeah, getting killed by Philadelphia. What am I talking about? It wasn't Philadelphia. Baltimore. Getting killed by Baltimore the way they did was a little bit crazy, but I don't know. I guess that's how that goes. What am I talking about anymore? I don't know. Yeah, that three-game losing streak was weird by the 49ers. Seattle's still alive. Green Bay's still alive. And the Saints, I believe, are still alive. The Vikings are out. The Rams are in. And who cares? The Rams aren't going to do anything. They're not. And if they do, I guess good for them. But I doubt it. That's kind of where things are, I guess. Again, I mean, the offensive line's back to sucking. The defense was back to not being good at all, like not being able to tackle. And a quarterback is throwing wild it's throwing interceptions at inopportune times, which is, that's any interception is not a good thing, but the most inopportune times and such. Sounds familiar. That sounds familiar. It sounds like 2020, sounds like 21, and sounds like 22. No, it sounds like the end of 22. The defense couldn't tackle their grandmother. And Kirk Cousins was checking down to, what was it, like Johnny Munt or something on the final play of the season. That was great. With, like, you know, a defender standing on top of him. And Johnny Munt, boy, I can't think of anybody I'd rather have than Johnny Munt catching the ball. Or no, that was Hutchinson. Hawkinson. It was Hawkinson, but still, tight end. A tight end is not really a tackle breaker, you know? And the defender was already there. Like a lanky tight end is easier to tackle than, you know, let's just say a Percy Harvin type. Let's just say a Ty Chandler, possibly, hopefully, with a little bit of tiny bit of space, which Hawkinson didn't have on the play. So everything kind of sounds familiar. It's the same old story. And here we are, not even making the postseason. But, I don't know, 1-4 start.
Didn't they?
Bad coaching decisions. I mean, you could go on all day. Injuries up the you-know-what. Stupid, I mean, you know, just fumbles that are just hang on to the bleeping ball, that kind of thing. They weren't just fumbles and, in up, you know, like, oh, bad luck. It wasn't bad luck. They simply fumbled, which is bullcrap at the end of the day. So with that said, the Fran Tarkington Award winner for this game, per se, I mean, I was about ready to hand it over to Nick Mullins. I was, but it has to go to Justin Jefferson, almost 200 yards. Nick Mullins, honorable mention for this one. But, you know, obviously the multiple interceptions, that kind of, you know, it is what it is. It's a lot of grape jelly stains all over your nice T-shirt, especially that white Vikings road jersey. A lot of grape on it. And it's not the purple, it's the gray. It is grape jelly. So, unfortunately, those interceptions don't help his cause. This and that. The Christian Ponder popcorn maker, whatever the heck you want to call it, memorial. I don't know. Garrett Bradbury's like way up on the list. I'm just tired of him. I don't think he's good. And generally speaking, I mean, Christian Darrisaw has not been as good, generally speaking. Like, I don't know whose assignment it really was. Probably supposed to be Munt. Otherwise, just, I don't know. The coaching wasn't so good either. But I guess I'll just kind of throw it at Garrett Bradbury. I'm just not a fan. And he had a crucial hold on a play that could have been a nice first down for us. That could have kept things going. Regardless if you wanted the Vikings to win today or not, still, it's just still, like, poor play. You know, it was not good at the end of the day. So you have to look at it that way. Even though it's like a higher draft position, I'm not exactly, like, devastated with the Vikings losing today. And I think it is a shame if Laporta's injury is very serious, and we'll probably get back to that either later this episode or next week's show if the news doesn't come out until tomorrow. So, because, well, depending on when I finish segment two, though, because you want to wait for the playoff picture to take shape, this and that. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we will look at the playoff picture in segment number two. We are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number two. Time to look around the league a bit and talk about the whole playoff picture and who made the playoffs, who didn't. Well, everybody that was going to make the playoffs is in. Now it's about seeding with pretty much just Buffalo and Miami. That's what's flashing on the screen right now. So usually the final game of the season, like the Sunday night football game, does have playoff implications with seeding, sometimes even making the postseason. But the winner will win the former Patriots division. It used to be just called the Patriots division, right? Well, something like that. The winner will be, it'll be the winner of the AFC East. Miami Dolphins hosting the Buffalo Bills. Dolphins 11-5, Bills 10-6. Bills would have the tiebreaker and would have the number two seed. The team that does not win would have the number six seed. So quite a drastic change when it comes to where you'll be. Possibly Miami Dolphins, the number two seed. That'd be kind of cool in Baltimore. And then the stinking Chiefs, the Chefs, the Yuck City Chefs will be the third seed. And so on and so forth. We're going to look around that very briefly. I'll probably look at the scores super quick. Don't want to babble too much like I do sometimes. And I probably should clean that up a little bit. New York, and then kind of like for final standings and finality type of purposes, The New York Jets. The New York Jets defeat the New England Patriots for a 17-3 victory. Seattle Sea Chickens. Yeah, we don't really need to get any further into the Jets and the Patriots, other than the Patriots are going to have a fairly high draft pick, and the Jets probably will too. Seattle Seahawks do defeat the Arizona Cardinals by 1 point, but we'll get to that in a minute. But the Seattle Seahawks do defeat Arizona just by 1 point. The Green Bay Packers beat the Bears. I probably shouldn't have mentioned that yet, but that's okay. We might look over that one a little bit more. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Yuck City Chiefs defeated the Short Circuits. Yeah, you can kind of guess what the two teams are, but maybe Jim Harbaugh's next team after he wins a national championship, which I am rooting for. Yeah. Pastor Jim Hammond at Living Word said last week, Roll Tide, and unfortunately it didn't work out. They almost had that one, but it went to overtime, and I don't know. I'd rather see Michigan win. I'd rather see Michigan not only get to the final game, but to win it. The Yuck City Chiefs, I don't want to see them win another game. Like, I want them to go 0-17 next year, and I absolutely want to see them knocked out in the first round. We'll talk about where that matchup is going to be next. Well, actually, that matchup might be the loser of this game. So hopefully the Dolphins or the Bills take care of business in Yuck City, Chef Land. The Las Vegas Raiders eliminated the Denver, the Denver Mules or the Donkeys or whatever. The Las Vegas Blackjacks, 27-14. The Eagles crushed by the... What the hell, man? Go away. New York Giants crushed the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to be on the road in the first round, 27-10. That's kind of sad. I mean, what happened to the Eagles? A couple of teams absolutely falling off the face of the map, unfortunately, here in the final month of the season. And it's there's another one that's just really sad. The 49ers lose to the Rams. What the heck? So the Rams end up, obviously, they made the playoffs anyway, but they helped their record a bit. Dallas Cowboys, Washington... Commanders finished 4-13, I guess. Pretty yucky. Oh my God, it's not going to stop, is it? Oh yeah, it's on me there. Some people are just really annoying. They just want attention every second. And unfortunately, that's the world we live in. People just want attention, boy. And and I keep hitting the wrong button, which is really dumb. There we go. That should wrap that up. Keep looking for attention, you're going to be ignored. Na 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 boo boo. Cleveland Browns unfortunately do not win the game, but no playoff implications, I believe, in this one. At the end of the day, the Bungles do finish with a winning record, 31-14. I might look at the box score for the second, but it doesn't matter. I shouldn't even say box score. That doesn't sound good. Jeff Driscoll, obviously they're being careful. You don't want to get Joe Flacco injured. The Cleveland Browns are just like, screw it. They were down 31-0 at one point and then managed 14 points in the fourth quarter. Jake Browning puts up pretty nice numbers, and A.J. McCarron, a name we'd almost forgotten about, the backup quarterback for Cincy in this one. Almost forgot about that guy. What the heck? Jake Browning, though, yep, 3 touchdowns and an INT. Nice numbers, and good luck to him in the future. I think he's definitely earned a stay in the NFL. He deserves to be at least a backup quarterback somewhere. Or stay with Cincinnati. I mean, he definitely did a good job and helped guide Cincinnati to a winning record. But they are not making the playoffs. Mixon, 111 yards and a touchdown. Figured I'd look at that one for the heck of it. I like the Bengals, dang it. And I'm kind of sad. Actually, didn't I pick them to win the Super Bowl this year? Oops. Yeah, I did. The Jaguars, my God. Ugh, what a disaster. What an absolute epic disaster. They lost to the Titans? Like, come on, man. They lost to the Titans. Now, the Titans did win their last two games of the season. The Jaguars went and finished 9-8 and missed the playoffs after last year's shocking, like, come from behind at the last minute last year to sneak into the playoffs and actually advance in the first round. That was impressive stuff. This year, a really strong record. They look like they might even be like a number 2 or number 3 seed in the first round and all that. And then they have an epic collapse and miss the playoffs. So it's kind of opposite effect of last season. The Falcons have the same record as the Vikings. That's sexy. 7-10. They're a shitty road team. I'm going to curse, I guess. Shitty road team. And the Vikings are a shitty home team. In fact, historically awful home record for the Minnesota Vikings. What, like 2-6? That's frickin' horrible. You can fill in the blanks there. Saints finished 9-8. But, well, we'll talk about the Saints later. Great numbers and everything. 48-17. They rump all over the Falcons. A very lucky bounce. Off of the, what was it, the Falcons defender's helmet, and the Cincinnati, New Orleans Saints receiver made the catch. It was a big play, and we're happy for them. The Buccaneers shut out the Panthers 9-0, and the Panthers get the number one pick. But nope, they gave it up. They gave it up last year in order to get the number one pick, and they hand it to the Bears. So the Bears are the number one pick again. Interesting. Chicago. And the Panthers 2-14. They will also have the 9th pick in the draft as well, which is intriguing. Panthers. Wow, man, they are. I feel bad. I'll come back to the Slackers and the Teddy Bears in a minute. It's crazy to think the Teddy Bears could have finished ahead of the Vikings if they won today. But obviously, we got the point. We already talked about the Raiders. You talked about the Giants. The New York Nephilim finished with a 6-11 record against the Sparrows. They're not soaring over anybody. That's another team with an epic collapse here. They were regarded as the best team in the league for quite a while, and then they're just not. San Francisco flew past them in so many ways. And even though the San Francisco 49ers got obliterated by the Ravens a couple of weeks ago, still wind up with a home court, home field advantage, and all that good stuff. Seahawks finished 9-8. Cardinals finished 4-13. The Chiefs 11-6, and they won their stupid game over the short circuits. The 49ers finished 12-5, but are still good enough to be the number one seed in the NFC. What the flip, San Francisco? LA Rams finished 10-7. That could have been us. Very easily could have been the Vikings, but it wasn't, because we stink. Because we stink. And because we started 1-4. And because we were injured. And because we can't hang on to the ball. And because we keep throwing to the wrong team. And because we can't catch the ball. And because we can't tackle. And because our coaching decisions are not good. The play calling sucks. That's why. There's a lot of reasons. Cowboys all over the Cowboys all over the Cadets. That's about all they are. They're no Commanders. Who are they Commanders over? They can't even win a home game. 1-7? I'm bitching about the Vikings 2-6 record. 1-7. They're going to be making just a couple changes there in Washington. In fact, it just might be a clean slate there in Washington. In fact, probably has to be. 1-7? I mean, how? Why? They were pretty good last year, remember? They were like knocking on the door. They were good last year. They were surprisingly good. Not this year. The frickin' Cowboys, number 2 seed in the NFC. All because of some stupid ref last week that, like made himself bigger than the game, I guess. Poor Detroit. I'd rather see Detroit have number 2. I hate the Cowboys, man. I hate the Cowboys. It's not like I love Detroit either. I don't like their fans. Their fans are, it starts with the A and ends with the E. Yeah, S, E-S. They are, but they really are. Believe me, I mean, I've been through it before. But at the same time, for, you know, the franchises and everything, the Cowboy fans are a-holes too. So 38-10 though, geez. So I don't know, watch the Cowboys lose in the second round. I mean, if they even get to the NFC title game, I'll be fairly surprised, and I hope they don't. But we could be going really old school though if it comes to that, where the San Francisco 49ers hosting the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC championship game. That's turning back the clock, isn't it? The Eagles got to take care of business. We'll see what happens if they can. The Pittsburgh Steelers made the playoffs. What the heck? And they even beat the Ravens, preventing the Ravens from going 14-3. Ravens finished with the league best 13-4, which could have been the Vikings last year. Yet we were a number 3 seed. Number 3 seed with a 13-4 record. What a bunch of crap. Like the year we have a spectacular record. The year we have a spectacular record like that. And we're not even a freaking number 2 seed. We're number 3. Ridiculous. Not that the number 2 is a whole lot of a bigger deal anymore, because it's no longer a first round bye because we got weird and had to add a 7th team. What's the point? It's kind of weird. I say teams that have the 2 best records in the conference deserve a first round bye. I think some stuff should have just been left alone. I think that was good. I don't know, but whatever. What am I even bothering? Pittsburgh Steelers 17-10, and everything is about the almighty dollar, and an extra playoff game, and everybody's gonna watch it because it's the greatest thing in the history of the world, and because some 7-10 team is gonna go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, sure they are. Sure they are. It's great. An extra playoff game, an extra regular season game. Freaking Texans made the playoffs. So the weird ass Colts were eliminated finally. I mean, what a weird team. They are they're surprisingly good though. 188 yards for Taylor on the ground. Jeez. But it was kind of a bell cow type of day with 30 carries for the Colts running back. Stroud leading his team to the postseason as a rookie. Insanely impressive. Mason Rudolph will be leading the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round. The Pittsburgh Steelers, that was on Saturday. Pretty wild stuff. So before we get to the playoff picture, we are going to look at where the Vikings will be drafting, because it's official. The Vikings have a draft pick this year, and it's, God, people are annoying. People are really annoying. I mean, really annoying. Anyhow, sorry. I don't know why. Anyhow, yeah. Okay, now I'm getting the, now I'm getting the infamous circle. I had everything ready to go, and it's giving me the spinning wheel crap. Thank you, ESPN. I just love you, or NFL, or whatever the hell it is. Well, NFL. Yeah, it's coming up. I'll have to go about it a different way. So, okay, that's not helping. I thought that it had everything here. This is stupid. So my apologies here. Yeah, Denver Broncos 12th pick. So I do believe everything's here. Yeah, and obviously every game is done except this one. So of course everything's here. The Bears do have the number one pick in the draft. The Commanders are the number two. The Patriots number three. Whew. Arizona Cardinals number four. The Short Circuits number five. The Shrimps number six. That would be the Giants and the Chargers. Yeah, okay. The other Shrimps, the not so powerful, the Wimps, the Titans, seventh pick. The Dead Bird Falcons. Yeah, you get the point. Number eight. Number nine goes to the Bias. Number 10 goes to the Grounded Jets. And the 11th pick goes to the Minnesota Vikings. The 11th pick goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Yep, the 11th pick. Like, it's, eh. Who did we get last time? That stupid cornerback that couldn't stop anything? He was okay. I mean, he wasn't that good. And I wasn't that impressed, actually. I'm just going to be honest with you. I wasn't that impressed. I'm just being honest with you. Seriously, it wasn't anything to brag about. But regardless, the Minnesota Vikings will be picking 11th. Biggest needs, quarterback, edge, offensive guard, linebacker, defensive tackle, play caller, and possibly defensive coordinator if people are infatuated with Brian Flores. Yeah, that's about everything. Yeah, offensive play caller, too, I would say. I'm such a jerk. Quarterback remains at the top on the list unless Kirk Cousins resigns with Minnesota for 2024. Multiple free agents on the defensive line, Jonathan Pollard, Marcus Davenport, who played like 5 seconds, Danielle Hunter, DJ Wanham, who might be out forever. No, well, he's out, obviously. I mean, he's injured, so we'll see if we can get him back cheap, I guess. Danielle Hunter is going to command big, big bucks. The Bronx go number 12. The Raiders go 13th. That's funny, man. We have a worse record than the Raiders. Saints go 14th. They missed the playoffs. So, yeah, we're trying to get off of that. Colts go to 15th. Seahawks 16th. Jaguars 17th. And so on and so forth. The Bengals 18th. So they're the infamous, the Bengals are the infamous last pick of the people that missed the playoffs. So that would kind of suck to be in that position. But, well, I mean, they have a chance to be a Super Bowl contender. Hopefully they can figure something out at 18th. I mean, Vikings have had, who did the Vikings take 18th? Didn't they get Justin Jefferson there, or was that 21? I think it was later, like 21. But either way, it's, you know, we got Justin Jefferson. So that felt pretty darn good at the end of the day. You can get good players in the, you can even get good players in the mid to later stages in the first round. So second half of the first round, you can say. Yeah, so that's kind of where we're standing at the point. Playoff picture, the NFC is set, the AFC is down to, again, the game that's flashing on the screen right now. What is this? Come on. Yeah, this is not what I care about. Yeah, it's kind of annoying how they do this. Yeah, this one is not going to help me. So, I like when I can just see brackets. You know, brackets are better, aren't they? Brackets rock. Just a bunch of percentages, like, oh, that's real helpful at the end of the day. You know, I had something up, and then it got taken away from me, basically, with the blue screen of death or, you know, spinning circle crap. Unfortunately, yeah, it's just kind of annoying, isn't it? I can finally dig up something here, thanks to CBS Sports, just to kind of have it as a cheat sheet. So the Cowboys will be hosting the Packers, and of course, you know, It'd be nice to know what time these are going to be, but at the end of the day, at least we know the matchups. The Cowboys will be hosting the Packers. The Lions will be hosting the Rams. The number two Cowboys are hosting the number seven Green Bay Packers. The Packers made the playoffs. Can you believe that? So, like, the Saints, the Seahawks, the Vikings all missed the playoffs, of course. The Buccaneers made the playoffs. Yep, so beating the Vikings certainly helped at the beginning of the season. That was, who would have thunk it? Like, the Buccaneers and the Buccaneers. I mean, the Lions making the playoffs, that's not a huge jump. The Rams, kind of surprising. Kind of. The Packers, too. They did not look good. No, they didn't look good last year, and they really didn't look good this year at the start of the season. They made the playoffs. Obliterating the Vikings certainly helped put us out of our misery, I suppose. Ugh, depressing, isn't it? So the Lions will be hosting the Rams. The Buccaneers will be hosting the Eagles. The Buccaneers will be hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, who were at one point considered the best team in the league. The bye will be the San Francisco 49ers. The AFC right now. So imagine if the Dolphins win. Right now it's a tie game, 7-7. They took the early lead and the Bills just tied it up. The Steelers would be at the Dolphins or the Bills, and then the Bills or the Dolphins will be at the Chiefs. So that's kind of, you know, plain and simple. But I'm stepping out in faith and believing the Chiefs are going to lose that first game. One of the predictors, I forget if it was Declan Goff, was predicting the Chiefs will lose their first playoff game right out of the gate. And I hope he's right. Browns will be at Houston. Wow, so the Browns will have to go on the road as well. But again, their division championship was, their chance of winning the division was knocked away a long time ago with the Ravens earning the bye there. So, yep, Ravens with the best record. That could have been the Vikings last year, which is funny. But, you know, that's how all that goes. As for how I'm going to stand on this one, Browns at Texans, man, that's an interesting matchup, isn't it? I got to think and hope that the Browns are going to beat the Texans in the first round. That's my early prediction, that the Browns are going to beat the Texans. I can imagine that one being a Saturday afternoon game. I think it probably will be. I wouldn't doubt. Yeah, cause that's just my guess. That'll be a Saturday afternoon game. Maybe the Chiefs will. I don't know. But I love those Saturday playoff games and then the Sunday playoff games. Oh, the first two rounds are so much fun. See, once you get to the championship Sunday, it's exciting and it's crazy because the stakes are so high. But it's only two games. It's like, shoot, and then that's it. But at the same time, yep. I mean, yeah. And what if it's two awful teams? You just don't want to see, like last year, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Ugh. But hey, I definitely gained an appreciation for the Philadelphia Eagles last year. I really did. I never thought that would happen. I really didn't, especially the way they kicked our butts in the second game last year. It's like, God, they're so cocky, and the way they're running all over us. And 2017, I just wanted to blow up Philadelphia, like nuke Philadelphia, you know? And I know I'm obviously just kidding, but that's how freaking ugly that was. I mean, it was such an ugly game, and they were so arrogant, and they were so mean. And then they beat the Patriots on top of that, and celebrated on our field. Oh, that was awful. So they beat the Vikings and the Patriots back-to-back weeks and won the Super Bowl, beating my favorite team, obviously, the Vikings, and my second favorite team, the New England Patriots, in back-to-back, not back-to-back weeks, but you know what I mean, in sequence. Knocking out the Vikings in the NFC title game in embarrassing fashion, throwing for like 900 yards against that silly future coach of the Lions at the time, the silly one that gives up too many points because he's a great defensive coordinator, too many yards anyway. And, I don't know. You get the idea. Why am I babbling so much about that? Browns will beat the Texans, in my humble opinion. And I do believe that both the Bills and... Put it this way. I think both the Bills and the Dolphins advance next week. I think the Steelers and the Chiefs are ousted, and I hope they are. Steelers and Chiefs are ousted in the first round. That would mean, well, whoever the sixth seed would have to go to Baltimore. And they would probably not win that game. The Bills or the Dolphins would probably not beat the Ravens. So I think the Ravens at least get to the AFC title game. Oh, boy. See, I mean, it's kind of like tough here. Who's going to win tonight's game? I'm going to assume the Dolphins. So I'm going to imagine that this is actually going to... See, this is like the based on the current standings. I think the Dolphins win tonight. I'm just going to... Or I could just do two different scenarios here. So the Dolphins would win tonight. They beat the Steelers. They're the number two seed. And then the Bills will beat the Chiefs. They stay number six, of course. The Browns will beat the Texans. So that would mean the Browns would head to Miami, and the Bills would head to Baltimore. That'd be a very cool second round of the playoffs. You could see the Browns or the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game if that all took place. I think that'd be the coolest thing ever. The Browns or the Dolphins in the AFC Championship game, which would be freaking cool. That's interesting. It's very interesting. The Bills could very well go to the Super Bowl this year, and they just might. But the Ravens probably should go. God, it'd be fun to see the Dolphins make the Super Bowl, but I think it sounds a little crazy. I get the feeling with the Dolphins, as good as they were this year, that they're like a piece away from actually going to the Super Bowl. Like, maybe next year they do. Especially if Tua stays healthy and this and that. And they, yeah, they add like one more important piece and the other guys stay healthy and such, and they have an even better record next year. That type of thing. I mean, Tyreek, whatever his name is, as annoying as he is and all that, well, he went through some hell this week. What, did his house get burned down because of some kid with a lighter? Like, what the heck? That's kind of crappy, you know? That's bad. So I'm definitely not rooting for that. It'd be nice to see Tyreek Hill peace sign his former team. They were so, he was such a jackass there, and they still are jackasses, the Chiefs. So who knows, maybe that will happen. Maybe the Dolphins will go to Kansas City and Tyreek Hill will peace sign the Chiefs. But I do believe the Chiefs are out in the first round and the Texans are out in the first round and the Steelers are out in the first round. That's my belief, though. I'll probably be wrong about all of them with my luck at times. Though there was one year I had an undefeated record. So again, tonight's game is a playoff game as far as I'm concerned. It's like a pre-playoff game. It is. You know, it's like that first little wild card game like in baseball. It's kind of like that. In a sense. So to this, technically, it's like a playoff game because the winner wins the division and stuff. So this counts as a prediction. Dolphins win tonight. They then host the Steelers, beat the Steelers. The Bills will beat the Chiefs. They'll head to Baltimore. The Dolphins will then host the Browns, who will beat the Texans. Dolphins go to the AFC Championship game against the Baltimore Ravens. Dolphins go to the AFC Championship game against the Baltimore Ravens. And I'll probably be wrong. They might be out in the first round. But I'll give it a shot. Like, Buffalo is just a funky team this year. You know, like, when they're hot, they're as good as it gets. But then they just find a way to not win. But, yeah, Bills will beat Baltimore. Baltimore will beat the Bills, excuse me. I do think the Ravens will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. With that said, we'll go to the AFC now. We will go to the AFC, the Packers at the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, that sucks. I don't like either team. But I don't like either team. I would rather see the Cowboys lose, though, because the Packers, they're not going to get past the second round. If they get past the first round, they're not getting past the second. Come on, they're toast. Eagles at Bucks, that's an interesting one. Yeah, freaking Cowboys beat the Packers. I don't like either team. They can both jump off a bridge, but the Cowboys will beat the freaking Packers. The Lions will beat the Rams, so Stafford will not beat his former team, and that would be really devastating for the Detroit Lions. So Detroit, take care of business here. That's the last thing you need, is to lose this game in the first round when you had a chance to be a number 2 seed, maybe even a number 1 seed, considering the way San Francisco has kind of bleeped around this year a little bit more than they showed up. They're the best team in football, and they bleeped around. They should have like 2 losses this year. What the hell, San Francisco? The Lions could have had the number 1 seed. Do you realize that? Doesn't mean they'd win the Super Bowl or anything, but they could go to the Super Bowl. They could. I mean, they might have posed a threat to the 49ers at the end of the day, maybe in the AFC title game, which sounds insane. But we'll digress to where we need to be. The Lions will beat the Rams. They'll finally win their first playoff game since 1991. The Lions will finally win a playoff game since 1991 when they beat the Cowboys. After that, they will probably be, they will be playing the Cowboys in the second round, which is really interesting, which puts things together here into interesting perspective. The Eagles will beat the Schmucks. The Eagles will beat the Buccaneers, which could face a pretty big threat for the 49ers as well in the second round. Last year's NFC Championship game could be a rematch here with Philadelphia going to San Francisco, and that could be a problem. But it won't be. The Eagles will be beaten by the Niners and the Detroit Lions. Now, I want to pick the Lions, man. I really do. The Lions will beat the Cowboys. The Lions are going to beat the Cowboys. Yeah. Detroit's going to the NFC Championship game. Yep, Detroit's going to get their head out of somewhere as long as guys aren't injured so bad. Yeah, I could be totally wrong here. I could be totally wrong here. And the Rams actually beat them because of all this. The Rams are on a pretty good run. And the injured players of Detroit. Now I'm going all over the place here. But the Bucs are not going to beat the Eagles. And if they do, my goodness, what happened, Philadelphia? What the hell? Impressive job by the Bucs, though, to make the playoffs this year. And it all started with that season opener when they came into Minnesota. It made us look kind of dumb. They made us look dumb. That was stupid. Otherwise, it's going to be Cowboys and Niners, old school. I don't know. Damn it. I just don't know. I'm having a hell of a time here. Why do I have a crappy feeling the Lions are going to lose? I got a crappy feeling the Lions are going to lose because of the injuries and the Rams' momentum and stuff. I got a crappy feeling, man. Detroit's going to have to wait another year to win a playoff game. What a waste. What a damn waste. And they barely, you know, they barely beat us both weeks. Like this week, they barely beat us, kind of, sort of. Even though clearly they were a superior team this year. I got a crappy feeling, man. Ooh, boy, I got a crappy feeling. Okay, I am going to go with it. I have to go with my gut here. The Rams are going to beat the Lions. So I'm going way the other direction here. Way the other direction. Rams are going to beat the Lions, as much as I hate to say it. I keep going back and forth. So the Eagles are going to beat the Bucs, and the Cowboys are going to beat the Packers. Man, I wish Aaron Rodgers was the Packers quarterback just because I want to see him embarrass the Cowboys one more time. I just love that. You know, so say what you want about Aaron Rodgers and you hate him and you hate the Packers. I loved seeing him make the Cowboys look like idiots in the playoffs. It was enjoyable because then the 49ers took care of the Packers anyway the next round. So what are we complaining about? That's my second favorite NFC team. They're the Patriots of the NFC, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, they're like my Patriots of the NFC. Because I like the Niners even before I like the Patriots. Like going way, way back. They're like the second or third team I had ever heard of after the Vikings. Like the Bears, the Niners. Yeah. And then the frickin' Deadskins because they beat us in the NFC title game in 87. And in the wild card round in 92. Wonderful. I'm babbling and bouncing. I can't do this because of those stupid injuries to Detroit. Freaking Laporta sounds like, yeah, he, you know, it sounds like it's not one of those like, oh, shoot, he's okay, though. We're just being careful. Doesn't sound like it. They're saying, like, could miss time. So, that sucks, man. Stupid. Yep. Yep, likely to miss some time. That would be the pride of Detroit. Suffering yeah, that's what I thought. Hyperextended, yep. Yep, it was hyperextended. It wasn't like a snap, you know, like, oh, crap. You know, like, there goes the ACL. It wasn't like that. But it's still, hyperextended knees are not a joke. That stinks. Carted off with hyperextended knee. Well, because hyperextended could be an ACL because it's getting bent the wrong way. But either way, it's like a sprain and probably really stiff and sore and all that stuff where it's like a, you know, like a maybe a grade one. This is just me guessing. This is me throwing, what do they call that? Throwing like a noodle on the wall, you know what I mean? Spitballing, whatever, to see if it sticks. But to me, it's grade one, I believe. That's just like from what I'm guessing. But grade one still involves small tears. And it takes time for a grade one to heal, like two weeks or so. So that means no first round game. Too bad Detroit couldn't get a bye. Too bad that doesn't exist anymore, and they couldn't get the number two seed even if it did exist still. This is what's throwing me off a little bit. Frick, man. The Lions will beat the Rams. I'm gonna stick to my guns here. I'm gonna get off this negativity. The Lions will beat the Rams, the Cowboys beat the Packers, and the Eagles beat the Bucks. So, where does that take us? The Lions have to go to Dallas, yuck. And then the Eagles have the Eagles go to San Francisco, which are pretty epic matchups, honestly. That's a really, really good divisional round. The divisional round is the best round there is. It's the best because you get them. You still have a bunch of games, two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, but it's like higher quality. Like you get rid of like the meh teams like the Bucks and stuff and the Rams, like the Packers. Give me a break. You know, teams like the Steelers, get out of here, man. Get out of here. Come on. The Steelers aren't a playoff team. Teams like that. Like a couple of years ago, you could have said that about the Dolphins. Like, get out of here. Where now they're more legit. the Dolphins will be in the AFC title game. I honestly think the winner of this game goes to the AFC title game. So if the Bills win, they're going to go. So we'll put that as like a, what's it call it? So we'll have the right to flip the prediction. The winner of this game goes to the AFC title game, but the loser will advance to the second round, though, the division. Eagles and Niners, that's going to be a tough one, but Eagles have been falling off the face of the earth. They will right the ship temporarily versus the Bucks, but the Niners advance to the NFC title game with a solid, convincing win, and don't get hurt, damn it. San Francisco, please stay healthy this time. God, a lot of guys are getting hurt in these games. Cowboys beat the Packers, I already said that, and they're going to beat the frickin' Lions. I don't want that to happen, but maybe the Lions do come back and win. Okay, they will. The Lions will beat the Cowboys in the division round again, just like they did in 91, and they will go to the NFC title game. Niners and Lions. Cool, man. About the Niners win, you will have a rematch of the Harbaugh Bowl, but we are going to flip the Harbaugh Bowl result from all those years ago, 11 years ago. The 49ers win the Super Bowl this time. San Francisco will beat Baltimore in the 11-year rematch Super Bowl. Both teams get to the Super Bowl for the first time since that game, and the Niners emerge victorious as world champions. And they doggone better. Maybe my Dolphins prediction is going to be right. They scored another touchdown here and made their extra point. Tua, number 10 there. That would be Tyreek Hill. And he's a crazy guy after his house burned down. Poor guy. But certainly not acting like his house burned down, I guess. The cheetah himself. The Lions will get to the AFC title game, though. Just like they did the last time they won a playoff game. So, cool. Back then, they had a first-round bye, so this time they have to work harder, beating the Rams and eventually the Cowboys, which they will do. Cowboys are not going to the NFC title game. They're going to stay out of that, just like they've been out of it since 95. Lions go for the first time since the 91 season, and all that good stuff with the Niners are world champs. With that said, now that I've babbled for hours and hours and hours and gone back and forth and probably annoying you, but that's kind of the fun of it. It's like you just have a hell of a time making up your mind about some of these. They're tough picks. But, yeah, maybe I should have been hard against the clock to come up with a better take here, and I apologize. With that said, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear from Dave Martin, Mad Martin, out of Northern Scotland.
New Year, Joey, and everybody that follows the podcast. I hope you have a good year and everything goes the way you dream it goes. So, January 1st, because this game against the Packers was the first game of the new year, this side of the pond. And again, I took the wise precautions of going to bed. I just couldn't be bothered. Because if you care about the future of the franchise, you wanted a loss. You had to hope, and I hoped it would be a narrow one-score loss. What else would you expect? So, fired up the TV in the morning, thought, okay, hopefully we lose by not much. And what did we see? I suppose, when you think about it, what could you expect? You put Hall in, who's a fifth round quarterback, and I suppose, you know, you have hope and you kind of think, yeah, maybe this kid might have something. And what we saw was brutal. He's a long way from NFL ready. And so what did they do in the second half? They threw in the human hand grenade, who did his best to continue the pain. And obviously, defensively, they've spent so much time on the field the last few weeks. Injuries, a roster that didn't have a great deal of talent. I suppose it had to come to an end, what Flores had done, and we saw that. So it was pretty brutal because you don't want to lose to the Packers, but you don't want to get thrashed. And that was the case. So here we are, final weekend of the season. And you know where I stand. We have to lose. We have to get that 9th or 10th draft pick in every round so that Kwasi has the opportunity and the ammunition to attempt to turn this roster around, which won't be easy because, you know, again, we probably discussed roster construction over the years. And my biggest beef is that we've kept players too long on inflated contracts, which has caused issues. So, I read a report from CBS saying that the team was looking to re-sign Cousins on a $76 million deal over 2 years or $38 million per year. I seriously hope to God that isn't true because, as far as I'm concerned, unless Cousins can lead this team to an NFC title game, 2 years down the road, Kwasi and O'Connell are going to be on the hot seat and it's going to be red hot. And I don't know if they will have the opportunity then to turn it around because, yet again, it's that man Cousins. Now, over here, we've got a product called Marmite, which is basically yeast extract. And they say you either love it or hate it. And that's very much the situation with Cousins, isn't it? And I won't deny he's not a bad quarterback. He's better than average. But if the guy's going to win anything, he needs a perfect roster around him. He needs a great defence. He needs a great O-line. He needs receivers, blah, blah, blah. And obviously, because of the money he's commanded over the years, that roster has got weaker and weaker. Now, this year, the Kirk Crusaders, Kirk Lovers, whatever you want to call them, are going, well, what if he hadn't got injured? And that is always the case, isn't it, with Cousins? It's what if? What if we had a better O-line? What if we had a better defence? What if, well, everything, basically. It's never on him. And it won't flipping work. I just hope that the Wilfs see sense instead of probably putting pressure on Kwasi to re-sign Cousins because he's going to lead you nowhere. I also read that Kwasi was prepared to sell the farm last year to move up but couldn't find a trade partner. So we have to root for a loss against Detroit tonight and hope other results go our way so that we're in the best possible position. If that makes me a bad fan to some people, then so bloody be it. I don't care about the 24-hour sugar rush of, oh, we won. Yeah, but we scuppered our draft position even further. And this is the problem. We need those picks. We need those picks to actually fire. I hope Kwasi says, no, we are going to trade up. And we're going to take one of those top three guys and build around them. Because you could turn this around in a couple of years. You could be a competitor if that kid is a legitimate franchise quarterback. And, you know, looking back over the last, say, decade as an example of the teams that have made the championship game or the Super Bowl with rookies, it's doable. It is the blueprint, the way we should go forward. Mahomes won a Super Bowl as a rookie. Allen's done much the same. He's got there. He's got that team almost all the way. Just look at San Francisco. They've got a rookie quarterback on less than $1 million and they put the roster around to win it. Obviously, there's no guarantees, but there is a chance. So I just hope they take that bold decision because I don't know if I can face yet more of the same. It's just depressing, especially when you see my concern is, you know, obviously when Spielman and Zimmer were fired, they brought in Poles. Obviously didn't like the plan that he wanted to gut the roster and pretty much rebuild from the base down. So they went with Kwasi, who I think personally would have liked to have done very much the same. But hands tied by ownership. Now, it's going to be interesting next year, because you really have got a case study in the North. You've basically had Detroit that pretty much tore it down, and now a competitor. They have a window and an opportunity to go very deep in the playoffs, maybe even Super Bowl. And you've got Chicago. And, you know, they've got the opportunity to say, well, Fields is okay, but we can move on because we've got the ammunition in the draft to do it. And considering at the start of the year they looked like a dumpster fire, what they've done in the last few weeks is quite remarkable. They've turned it around, and with a few more pieces, they could be a juggernaut along with Detroit. And where does that leave us if we go with Kirk Cousins? Right, I shall look forward to the next podcast, Joey. Skull brothers and sisters. Let's hope we get a loss. I want that 9th pick.
And we are back here on Purple Mafia, segment number 3, fan interaction segment. Thank you so very much, Dave Martin, Mad Martin, for the call-in. And boy, I wish it could have been the number 9 pick. Unfortunately, it's going to wind up being the 11th pick, which is annoying. Also, again, before I get back to Mad Martin, and I'll probably kind of go around this all over the place. So the game tonight is dynamic in terms of the seeding. So I have to correct myself here. If Miami wins, Buffalo ends up being the number 7 seed, and they would have to play the Dolphins again. So, like, the Dolphins would be number 2, and Buffalo would drop to number 7. But if Buffalo wins, Pittsburgh is number 7. Yeah, Pittsburgh then moves to number 7, which is what I thought in the first place. And then they would be hosted by the Bills. So the Bills would host Pittsburgh, number 7 seed, and then the Dolphins would be number 6, going to the Yuck City Chefs. I think if the Yuck City Chefs and Pittsburgh Steelers play in the first round, that means the Yuck City wins that one. But I still believe that Yuck City, the Chiefs, will not get past Miami or Buffalo in the divisional round. So we'll look at it that way. And I'm going to stick to this also dynamic side about this game. The winner of this game is probably going to go to the AFC Championship game. That's what I'm going to say. Now, it might end up being a rematch, but I do think one of these two teams will be against Baltimore, bottom line, in the AFC Championship game. I'm sticking with Miami winning this game and ultimately going to the AFC title game. So that would mean possibly, yeah, so that's what I'm sticking with at this point. Because they'd play the Chiefs in the second round anyway, and I think they beat the Chiefs at home. The number 2 seed will beat the Chiefs at home regardless. So, like, the Chiefs get past Pittsburgh. The Bills, in that case, I believe it would be. No, the Dolphins, in that case, would beat the Chiefs in Miami. Otherwise, Buffalo wins, beats Pittsburgh. I imagine the Chiefs beating the Dolphins. But, I know, I mean, otherwise the Dolphins possibly knock them out. But we'll say the Chiefs win that, unfortunately. And then you have a... either way, you know, either way. But, I mean, I think the Chiefs either way get knocked out, at least by the second round. Maybe the Dolphins could beat the Chiefs anyway, hopefully, or even the Buffalo Bills could. For some reason, I see the Bills more likely to beat the Chiefs on the road than, say, the Dolphins. But that's just because the Bills are a little more playoff-tested than Miami. That's kind of my thinking, even though Miami had a very strong year. So back to Dave Martin's call. So, again, talking about the dynamics of this game. You know, it's interesting. But regardless, yeah, I mean, I wish the Vikings could have gotten the 9th pick, but ultimately we're going to wind up with the 11th. So now we'll see if there's a mock draft where the Vikings might end up going. It'd be amazing to get Penix. It'd be amazing to get Nix, guy like that, where the Vikings might end up going at the end of the day. But we will have the 11th pick. The Bears will have the number 1 pick. Will they hang on to it this time, or will they get another haul? Possibly. So we'll see what they're thinking. Chicago Bears taking Caleb Williams, number 1 overall. Washington taking Drake May, number 2. This is the PFF.com, the PFF mock draft. New England Patriots, number 3, Jaden Daniels. Not Jaden McDaniels like the Timberwolves, but Jaden McDaniels there. Jaden Daniels out of LSU, sorry, number 3. Number 4, Arizona taking Marvin Harrison Jr., just like Marvin Harrison Sr., formerly of the Indianapolis Colts. New York Giants take wide receiver Malik Nabers, LSU. Los Angeles Chargers, offensive tackle Joel Alt, Notre Dame. Tennessee Titans, offensive tackle Olu Fashanu, Penn State. Number eight for the Vikings. Number 8 for the Jets, offensive tackle Talis Fuega, Oregon State. What is this, some kind of trade-up? Yeah, nope. And there goes Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington to the Atlanta Falcons. That figures. He kicked 9th pick, so the Vikings might end up trading up. You never know, and they probably should, to Atlanta. The Bears then take at number 10. So I thought that was flip-flop, but whatever. We'll see. Wide receiver Rome Udunze. Okay, this is wrong. This is different. Either way, it looks like the Vikings will be taking Bo Nix if it's 11 or 12. So at least according to these guys, they have him at 12th here, but the Vikings will be taking 11th. So this must not be updated. I'm sorry. But either way, yeah, Bo Nix. And that's one that's been floating around. Bo Nix of the Oregon Ducks. Bring in the Oregon Ducks. Keep on losing. What the bump? Bring in the Oregon Duck. Yeah, that's basically it. 5 quarterbacks in the top 12 would make for a wild opening night in the 2024 NFL draft, but until these teams actually fill their needs at the position, dipping into this very talented 2024 singular caller, signal caller, caller class again feels plausible. If you've seen what the Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell, okay, I've got the Minnesota Wild play-by-play voice on the mind. Kevin O'Connell has done with his quarterbacks this year. You have to be somewhat excited about what he could do with Nix's experience, high IQ, and dual threat ability. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Bo Nix would definitely be, you know, at least there you go. There's your quarterback of the future. He's a legitimate piece, and I think there's even some mocks that have Bo Nix slipping into the second round. But if he's your guy, so be it at the end of the day. Doesn't feel like a Christian Ponder-like reach. Like, who the hell is Christian Ponder almost? I mean, it was basically like that at the time. And then you watch his quote-unquote highlights, and the guy had no special skills. Nothing. There was nothing there that was like, that stood out. It was like, okay, he can throw the ball and he can run a little bit. He's not that fast, doesn't have much of an arm, he's not a quick decision maker, doesn't have a quick release, doesn't have a smooth release on the ball. So what the hell are we taking Christian Ponder with the number 12 pick in the draft for? That was really irritating, actually. I remember that, you know, very well, of course, in 2011. And that was a reach, and it's like, yep, there's like 19 quarterbacks and all that. Oh, and then like, how many of them worked out? Like Andrew Luck, I think, and that was it. And then he ended up having a short career, though, unfortunately. A really short career, that Griffin III, he had an insanely short career. So we'll see what happens. There wasn't a quarterback taken for quite a while after this, and most of these teams have quarterbacks, but like frickin' Cincinnati, of course. So, yep, looks like Nix, yeah. So Bo Nix, that's one that's kind of been out there, coming to the Vikings. Walter Football this is Walter, right? Yeah, this one has like a million ads usually, but it's a classic. Walter Football's been around forever and ever and ever. The Bears take Caleb Williams. Yep, so Justin Fields might be up. Drake May to Washington. Jaden Daniels. So these are all kind of similar. Marvin Harrison to Arizona. So on and so forth. Not as many quarterbacks being taken this time around, though. J.J. McCarthy. Yep, there you go. That's one that's an interesting one, possibly. From the possible national champion Michigan Wolverines going to Atlanta. Bears from Roll Tide. That outside linebacker Dallas Turner. Still showing the Raiders as number 11. What the heck? Vikings. Nate Wiggins. Cornerback Clemson. Huh. Nate Wiggins, huh? Well, we need about 19 cornerbacks because our secondary still sucks. So we passed on taking a quarterback. That's great. If Mike Zimmer was still the head coach. Yeah. Well, yeah. Sounds like Mike Zimmer's running Walter Football anyway. Yeah. But, well, that might end up being what it is at the end of the day. This one looks like it's brand new. 37 minutes ago, coming from DraftKings. Okay, DraftKings. Yep, they're my sponsor on Brave the Wild. So there you go in the Hockey Podcast Network Vikings take. What the heck? Okay, I've seen this one. Laiatu Latu, Edge, UCLA, 11th pick. The Vikings do not take a quarterback here either. Caleb Williams going to the Bears, or is it possible Washington Commanders via the Bears again? So interesting. So the Bears are traded away again and take the Commanders pick. They'll take number two with Marvin Harrison Jr. Interesting. So that's all proposed conversation there. At least this one's accurate and updated. Come on, where are the Vikings other than just taking an edge rush? Now, it's nice and, oh, well, we got to replace Danielle Hunter, but it's like, how exciting. We're just replacing a guy because he's too expensive. That's exciting. It's really, really exciting. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I should go to Tankathon. That's one of my favorites. CBS mock drafts. Sorry, I'm kind of going crazy here, but mock drafts are fun. You know, I get kind of obsessed, especially the thought of the Vikings getting a quarterback. Hopefully. Nate Wiggins again. Okay, that's the Raiders. The Vikings take. And that's the edge rusher, Laiatu Latu. Okay, well, okay. Tankathon, last one. Sorry, I'll quit babbling, and then we can get to actual fan interaction. Laiatu Latu. Damn it. Looks like we're taking Laiatu Latu then. Lucky us. Well, I don't know. Offense. Michael Penix Jr., damn it. No. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? But isn't he the one with the injury history, though, with, like, multiple ACLs or something? So that's one thing. Where's Bo Nix? Did he slip in this one? Looks like no first-round pick for Nix. Come on, Vikings. If he's there in the second round, and, oh, J.J. McCarthy slipping to Minnesota with a 42nd pick. That would be nice. That'd be really, really. I got a smile on my face. Can you tell? And then Bo Nix also, a pass on him. He goes to the Raiders. They'd probably be very happy, too. Wow. Interesting numbers there. But, yeah, J.J. McCarthy coming to the Vikings. Okay, sure. Sure. J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. But I haven't done a ton of research on these guys yet. But it's just, you know, at least it's a possibility that we have a quarterback of the future there with either one of those guys. And you also get a, you know, really high-end pass rusher in Laiatu Latu. 13 sacks for UCLA. Very familiar school, of course. Two interceptions, two forced fumbles. And two passes deflected as well. So, pretty good numbers. 49 tackles for an edge rush. That's pretty good, too. So, there's something there. That's exciting. It is. Yep. Bo Nix had great numbers in college. Oh, holy Toledo. Sure did for the Oregon Ducks. My God, 45 touchdowns and three interceptions. That's pretty good. McCarthy, though, obviously, again, Washington. Amazing. So, we'll see what happens there. So, thanks, Tankathon. Tankathon, you made me feel a little better there. Thank you. Fan interaction. I apologize. I'm dragging this out longer than I should have now. What a surprise. At Purple Mafia Show is the Twitter account or the X account or whatever you want to call it. Again, a great call-in from Mad Martin. I thought I'd just kind of let him have the floor, that type of thing, rather than just kind of talking over what he said, like kind of rehashing everything. Yep, and yep, obviously, again, reiterating his frustration with, like, yeah, let's not just bring the band back and kick the can down the road 15,000 times. We're all tired of it. So nobody disagreeing with Mad Martin there at all. Nobody. So let's keep going back here. Okay, the most recent episode is retweeted by Vince Germano out of Australia, Malcolm out of California, and Tanae Brown out of New Zealand. Mad Martin said, yeah, that's an awesome Kermit impression. Yep, when I was making fun of the Yuck City Chefs, yep, quarterback. Yeah, that guy. Ugh, yep. So, no, thank you so much for that. That was fun. Yep. I was like, Patrick Mahomes is such an annoying voice. Not sure why nobody has brought that up until this year. Ha ha. So, yep. Thank you for that.
Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy, come block for me, okay?
Yep, that's pretty much Patrick Mahomes there. Dave Hickey, coming in out of Iowa, says it was their worst game of the year. Jaren Hall did not look good, but the O-line was horrible. Yeah, I mean, there were so many ugly games this year, but that was the tops. Yes, that was fire the coach bad. If Kevin O'Connell was on the hot seat, he would have not survived that game. That would have been it. Mad Martin says Viking starters had their worst game of the 2023 season on Sunday. That would be that New Year's Eve. Yep, this is, I believe this is PFF rankings, right? That's most likely what that is. Yep. Frickin' Bradbury. God, he sucks. 36.8. Ingram. Ed Ingram, 43.5. God, Bradbury sucks. Darrisaw. Yep, the O-line, terrible. They're terrible. Even Darrisaw, disappointing the last few weeks here. Blackman was the worst of all, and he was out this week with injury, but either injured ego or just injury, I guess. 29.2, that would be on deep. Yep, the worst PFF rankings you could come up with. Bullard, defensive tackle, 29.4. Evans, yeah, God, he sucks too. He couldn't tackle the last few weeks, and he got benched today, 30.1. And Harrison Smith, 51.1. Higher, but still stinks the past few weeks. Case of screw it, perhaps, says Matt Martin. And it's like, yeah, I think so. And appreciate those stats there. That's important. Those are PFF scores, and yeah. It looked like there was a reply, but I can't see it. Don't you just hate that? Don't you hate that? There's a reply, but I can't see it. Oh, he's replying to himself, I guess? Weird. No, not weird on your part, but... Okay, I get it. I was saying, okay, they're here. My guy Makai got obliterated over and over. Lowest score overall. And then Mad Martin said, what Sunday tells us is that this team has serious issues that cannot be fixed in the next year. Agreed. Need to take the pain and rebuild. This consistent competitive rebuild gets us nowhere but mediocrity. Amen, brother. Yep, a couple more here on this thread. I was saying it's interesting how last year all those miracle wins covered up a lot of holes and deficiencies. We fixed some of them, but most of them are still there. It's something in the culture that needs to change, like Bill Guerin once said about the Minnesota Wild. Yeah, but the culture changed, but it's not better with the Wild right now. But super bad cap situation doesn't help either. Matt Martin says ownership needs to let the GM do his job. Sent you some audio, and yes, you did, and it was great. Thank you. Thank you, Matt Martin. That was awesome. Once again, about a 8-minute excellent call there. Why is this? I'm getting the blue screen here. Okay, not blue screen, but I would have disconnected completely if that happened. Oh, God. Hopefully that never happens again. It did happen once, and I lost an entire episode. Dead serious. That was when the Vikings got crushed by the Saints in 2010 in the season opener. And I was like, you know what? Canceled. I'm not redoing the show. Bleep that. Like a segment, maybe, but not the whole show, and I've just finished. No way. Dave Vicky says, until the Vikings get some serious draft picks and make some good trenches picks, we're never going anywhere. I can't disagree with that. Next one, they have to cut some great veterans this offseason. Except Hunter, you can't get rid of playmakers. Harry, I love you, but bye. Kirk, you played great, except when it matters, but bye. Yep. Yeah, I think so. I really do. I really do. And I'm going to say something in a little bit if I don't forget. Oh, yeah, this is the end of the thread. That was the second last tweet. Dave Barnes says, I know they seem to celebrate every play. Yep. Whether it's a good catch. Yeah, he's like, I know. They seem to celebrate every play, whether it's a good catch, run, or defensive play. Somebody's celebrating. Yeah, like the touchdown celebrations have gotten completely out of hand to a point of like, it's a gong show. That's what I called it. I was saying the endless celebrations are overdone and becoming a first-class gong show. Come on, people. Yep. So, yes, I do think that's a rant that could be out there against the NFL and the way the players have been behaving with these stupid celebrations to a point of, like, I don't know. I'm surprised. Like, you know how they, like, the fake hamstring injury thing? First of all, it's like, I don't know, you're almost asking to get hurt when you do stupid stuff like that. It's like, oh, I don't want to get, you know. It's like, oh, it's just being funny. How come you don't understand? Yeah, it's not funny, though. Like, faking injuries, yeah. That's usually, you don't know, that kind of stuff, like, is like, you know, basically proven that, like, you fake an injury, eventually that injury happens. Yeah. Yeah. Whether you call it karma, or you sow what you reap, or, you know, like, you reap what you sow, that kind of thing. Yeah, boy, that's a wet place there for the, Foxborough. Whew, nasty. Anyhow, so what was I going to get into? Crap, now I think I forgot. Oh, yeah, Nick Mullins. I was like, almost blanked out. I kind of like that guy. I don't know. I'm kind of warming up to him a little bit. And no, not to be the quarterback of the Vikings next year, unless it's like the whole, you know what I mean? Like you said, go through the pain. You know, like Matt Martin has been definitely being strong about that. And that's why he's saying that's why he's a backup. Yeah, Nick Mullins. Yep, I mean, maybe. I don't mean him being the starter next year or anything. But the guy does have a special skill, at least. Like, he is capable of making a big play. It's just that, yeah, like, when you call it, he's like a human hand grenade. He'll, like, blow up at any time, that kind of thing. Yeah, he throws the ball and it explodes and gets us killed, that type of thing. So there is that, very much. And I was extremely frustrated with him versus Detroit last time around. Last week he was okay. Not great, but okay. And yes, he is absolutely a backup, like a Bubby Brister type, if you know what I mean. Maybe he'll have some guts and glory, but blow up in a blaze of glory when things don't go right. Him being Nick Mullins, of course. His post-game interview, yeah, I kind of like that guy, you know? I kind of like him. He has a personality. He definitely does. He doesn't BS around at all. And he got really emotional about the thought of missing, you know, that they missed the playoffs. He probably really was hoping to be a quarterback of a playoff game. I can kind of feel that. Like a childhood dream, you know, being a quarterback in a playoff game. That must have, you know, that's probably what made him kind of tear up. He was tearing up. And that's not necessarily what made me warm up to him, but his entire personality. I thought that was kind of cool. So, I don't know. He's at least somebody who's, you can tell he loves the game. He truly does. Like, somebody who's a gunslinger, they really love the game. So, I have warmed up a little bit to Nick Mullins. I wouldn't mind having him back as a backup quarterback, that type of thing. He does have special skills. It's just a damn shame with the, you know, erratic play that can cost you, like, royally. At times, but it's almost as if he got to be out there longer, you know, some of the erratic plays may go away, but I don't know, probably not. That kind of is who he is. I definitely wouldn't want him starting unless it's like just one of those crazy years where, what the hell, you know, like keep on losing, what the hell, you know, that type of thing, or what the bleep, bring in the Oregon Duck, that type of thing. So, Instagram, I better check that quick. I didn't even put a post-game thread because I'm an idiot. But what else is new? Shoot. Post-game thread. So, Purple Mafia Show is just one word for Instagram, thankfully. So that one was, again, easier acquired than some of the others. If I ever find it. Yeah, I always have to, because I have so many, I have multiple Instagram accounts because of the different shows. Where is it? Yep, I didn't put a post-game thread, and I should have. But maybe there's enough here. Yep, 5 comments. Okay. Yeah, Strike Force. Yep, that would be Mark Carlson out of Iowa saying Madison. Oh, man, darn. That was like that when he hesitated. That was weird. Let's see everything. Yep, so these are all Mark Carlson. Cool. Mike Dale, where are you, man? Mike Dale, don't be afraid to comment. I'll probably put something out there, you know, like a conversation starter, hopefully to get people going. Mark Carlson was saying, dear God, I'm not sure this is a good idea to be sinking around. Just keeping it simple. Next one, please, no more penalties, please, and let's have a second half that means something. No more bumbling around with the craziness. Here comes the end of the season, and that's okay. I would want to be tortured. I wouldn't want to be tortured one more week. Minutes to go, 30 to 20, and it's an interception. Yep. last one. What a year, though. I explained to my doctor at an annual physical in November that I have been cheering for the Vikings my whole life, and he sent me for a urinalysis. Oh, I may have provoked him a bit by wearing a beat Navy shirt to my appointment, knowing he's a retired Navy flight surgeon. Ooh, and being a fan through this year might warrant a screening. Skull, catch you all in the post game thread, and I didn't post one. Maybe I'm really sorry. I should have posted the post game thread. I wonder if I still can, and then maybe I can read it next week, because I've done that before. So I will put up the post-game thread now, in case, you can still post it on there. Come on, where is it? Stupid. I didn't mean to do that. Go to the story, and here we go. So I'm going to post it right now, as I'm talking. I'm going to have to hit the remix, put the text, Vikings, versus Lions, if I can trip Lions, post game thread, come on, is here. Sorry, I'm late. Okay, so this will be on the next, there it goes. Okay, so that, yep, so they will be read on the next episode. I mean, there's no more Viking games anyway, so I can read it on the next episode. So please do, if you're, you know, like Mark Carlson, Mike Dale, anybody else on there? On Tanae Brown, those are at least three people I know for sure are frequent on the Instagram account. Please be, please don't be afraid to comment in there. Long or short, whatever you like. I mean, long is wonderful, and short is way better than nothing. So, yeah, if you want to comment on the post-game thread, there it is. I'm really sorry, Mark. I feel stupid. But, yeah, please do post what you wanted to say on there. I finally put it out there. So, anyhow, with that said, algorithms definitely help this show. If you could put a 5-star rating for Purple Mafia on your Apple Podcast or your Spotify app or whichever it is regarding Purple Mafia, not the app itself, but the show rating, if you could, it would really help with that said. So thank you so much in advance, and thank you so much to those of you that have been doing it and have done it over the years. It's insanely appreciated to the nth degree. With that said, it's been a rough season. Of course, we're going to have a State of the Vikings at the, you know, like after the Super Bowl at some point. That's tradition. Sometime in very late February, usually. Or yeah, like in mid to late February, we'll have a State of the Vikings 2024. Where we'll put a bow on the season and name our Minnesota Vikings MVP. Biggest disappointment and biggest surprise of the season. Pretty good ideas for all those. So we'll get back to that when we get there. Otherwise, again, the positive ratings really help the show in such a big way. And if you want to write a review, that's wonderful as well. That's just icing on the cake and greatly appreciated. So hope you have a wonderful week. And at the end of the day, maybe, I don't know, in your comments, if there's anybody you're kind of sort of rooting for in the playoffs, if it's Detroit, if it's the Packers, that'd be interesting, or the San Francisco 49ers, or you like the Chiefs. Well, if you do, that's okay. I'm not going to hate you. I just hate the Chiefs, that's all. But yeah, go ahead, comment, say something, Twitter, Instagram, because Facebook doesn't want to have Purple Mafia on it for some reason. With that said, have a great week, and we will talk to you next week. Go 49ers.